evening, we're before you, Lord, and we just ask that your presence be with us this evening, Lord. That you would speak to our hearts, and that you would guide us, God. That you would direct our paths. That you would minister to the depths of our soul, my God. We trust you, we believe you. And we know, my God, that when you are with us, there's nothing that can stand against us. There's nothing now, nothing in the past, and nothing to come, God, that can separate us from your love, that can separate us from who you are in our lives, my God. And we just thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. Welcome to Connect, guys. It is a pleasure to share with you tonight. Before you sit, I'll have you open up to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. We worship you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. The word reads, in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So here we are, right? It's day 12 of 2020. It's a new year. It's a blank slate, a new beginning, whatever you want to call it, right? With that, many of us had made a ton of resolutions, right? We've resolved things in our minds and in our hearts. And my heart is that we would all succeed, right? And with all of our resolutions, we would all get healthier and we would create that budget and stick to it. And we'd call mom or dad more often, right? On the phone, and we'd make that trip we've always dreamed of. And that we would be successful and accomplish many of the resolutions that we've made. The truth is that we make all kinds of resolutions at the beginning of the year because a new year brings a promise. It brings a promise of a new opportunity, of newness, of openness, of no burden, of no mistakes, of nothing's happened, I get to start over, here we go. 365 days where I can make it. Some of us have even resolved with all of our best intentions to work on our spiritual life, to strengthen our relationship with Christ. We said, okay, Lord, this is the year. 2020 is the year where my relationship with you is the strongest ever. We say, yep, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to be that better Christian. I'm going to be more involved in church. And, you know, that makes my heart happy because, you know, I love the Lord and I love to serve. And when I see other people that want to do and want to get better and want to be healthy in all ways, including spiritually, you know, I encourage you and I'm all for it. And I can tell you that I'm looking for greeters. So if you want to serve, let me know. We're also looking for volunteers for YA as we continue to build Connect and YA. So please talk to Pastor Miner if you want to serve on that. There's different areas for us to serve. There's room for all of us. But all jokes aside, as I considered what to share tonight, in different ways the Lord stirred in me, and I'm telling you in different ways. And even just a few minutes ago, standing in there, we've been fighting and just wrestling with God, like, Lord, man, what is this? That although some of us have resolved to get better, to do better, to be that better Christian, to obey, to love, to serve, to, you know, take care of our neighbor, to be more than we've been in years before, to read scripture, to pray, and maybe even fast a day, right? Or do any other thing that would be of benefit to us spiritually, any one of us and all of us will meet, where we'll reach a point, we'll reach a moment where we will struggle. Some of us in that struggle will become discouraged. Some of us will stop pursuing, will stop pushing, and we'll find ourselves on December 31st saying, Lord, 2021 is going to be my year. Because this year will go by us, and we wouldn't have reached that whatever we think in our minds is that what we set out to do. We will take our eyes off of the prize. We will take our eyes off of that end goal. And looking back, we'll say, man, I messed up. I wasted so much time, and I didn't do what I meant to do. I want us to be encouraged now and remain encouraged even when it gets tough, because it will. It's going to get tough. We read in Philippians a passage where Paul describes his journey, his pursuit. If you've been in church for a little while, you may be familiar with it. I think there are aspects of this passage that can help us as we also strive toward our prize in 2020. I believe that if we continually put the following three elements into practice, we can battle discouragement, we can overcome those obstacles, and we can battle in those trials we may face, and in the end, be victorious. These three elements that Paul put into place, what we need to do is we need to forget, we need to stretch, and we need to keep focused. The first one, needing to forget, means we need to leave the past behind. Easier said than done, my friends. Easier said than done. Trust me, I know. 2019, I reached far into my past, and I brought some things into 2019 that I should have left years before. It was a valuable lesson in learning to forget and leaving things in the past. In a very simple view, we can say that our past either condemns us or approves us. When we look back, we either regret things we've done or we want to relive memorable moments. Either way, our past can weigh on us and have a hold on us in ways that we're not even aware of. That is, until we try to move forward, until we try something new. Because when we do, something happens within us that says, this is different. You're moving, there's movement, you're leaving something that's been there. Our emotions are triggered, and we're right back in that moment that defined us one way or another. It's then when we realize how much of our past we carry around and how much of it we're still holding on to years later, weeks, days, whatever it is later, that still is attached to us. In verse 13, Paul says that he forgets what lies behind him. There are two things that I find interesting in his words. First, he doesn't pick and choose what parts of his past he forgets. He doesn't say, forgetting all the bad stuff that happened to me, I strain forward to what lies ahead. He makes a general statement indicating that anything that lies behind need not occupy any of his present as he moves forward. At the time that Paul wrote these words, he would have been around in his mid to late 50s, a believer for around 30 years, imprisoned at Rome, and only a couple of years before being martyred. In the verses before, there's a quick review of some of his key aspects of his life, the key aspects of his life. So we know that Paul had lived. He lived a full life for intent and purposes, and it was good. It was filled with the good, the bad, and the not so pretty aspects. As a community here, we each have lived very unique lives. We each have our own journeys with our own struggles and situations. We have aspects of our lives that we can boast about, and we also have scars to show our deepest regrets. Regardless, there's a clear indication that the past is not what we should focus on when trying to move forward. What the Lord has for us lies ahead of us, not behind, where we need to go looking again. How silly of us to think that when presented with the new, with what's next, we think we need to go back to get something we left behind. Why? There's a fear brought on by the new, by the unknown, by the uncertainty. There's a comparison that happens that, wow, this new thing is not with what, it's not like what I had in the past. This is different. I say, in Christ, all we need, we have today. We don't gotta go to the back to look for anything we left behind, because all we need, we have today in Christ. A couple of Sundays ago, Pastor Carlos, in his sermon titled Embracing What Is Next, described part of the Israelites' journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. He described what impedes us from seeing what is next in our lives. And in his second point, he presented the idea that always looking back to Egypt, furthermore, flirting with Egypt, affected the people of Israel. It affected their ability to embrace what was new, to embrace the Promised Land. The words honestly struck me. When I heard him say Israel flirted with Egypt, I was like, it's a little different, right? I was familiar with the fact that when faced with uncertainty and hardship, the people of Israel had been quick to turn their hearts back to Egypt. But what burned in me was the why. Why would they want to go back to Egypt? Why would they want to go back to Egypt knowing that the Promised Land was literally in front of them? They were willing to give that up to go back. It made me question why I look to my past sometimes too. The answers that came were in a way hard to process. I've been processing for a while. But necessary. Necessary lessons. We go back. I knew this was going to happen. Bear with me one second. We go back because it's familiar. Because it's easier to go back. Because if we're lonely, we'd rather the comfort of what we know, or what we knew, of who we knew, even if it's not good for us. We rather what's not good than look ahead to what's new and what's coming. If we're tired of the walk, we're tired of waiting, we're tired of the struggle, retracing steps is easier than forging new steps. Because the steps are already there, you just gotta go back. But stepping forward means new ground, means a new walkway. And that's hard. It's hard. If we wanna move forward in 2020 in our journey, we need to check our hearts and our minds and see what of our past we're still holding on to. We need to make note of when and why we look to our past and resolve to forget. I would say it would be way easier, right? If we have one of those memory flashy thingies from Men in Black, you know, the memory flashy thingies. Am I dating myself? No, okay. But we don't. It's not that easy. So it's something we have to do consciously. We have to make the decision and say, nope, not going there. This brings me to my second observation of these words Paul shares, forgetting what lies behind. Now, bear with me a little, because I'm going to go to like elementary, middle school, maybe high school for some people. Grammatically, The verb forgetting in this sentence is formatted as a present participle. A present participle is a form of a verb ending in ing, forgetting, which is used in forming continuous tense. Paul writes, forgetting what lies behind, not because it was a one and done deal. He writes, forgetting what lies behind because we continually have to forget and forget and forget. We may forget what happened yesterday, but lo and behold, something that happened 5 years ago comes rushing back to our mind, to our emotions, to our mental state. And we're like, where did that come from? We got to go ahead and forget it again and push it far back and say, nope, I'm not there anymore. That's not me anymore. Whatever that was is done. It's gone. I'm moving forward. If we don't make a habit of leaving the past in the past, we risk having our minds and our hearts too full for what is next, which is to stretch to what lies ahead. I'm going to say that again. If we don't make a habit of leaving the past in the past, we risk having our minds and our hearts too full to do what is next. Too full. You're going to be like carrying stuff around. As a matter of fact, in scripture we see the, and that's dangerous, is what I'm getting at. In scripture we see the effects that not forgetting can have. We just discussed the people of Israel. It made them wish their return to Egypt instead of pushing towards the promised land that was right in front of them. In their hearts, they opted to return to slavery rather than reach the promised land. It turned Lot's wife into a pillar of salt. In her heart, the imminent danger proved to be more her unwillingness to let go of what was behind than the fire that was consuming Sodom. Process that for a second. The danger was within her more so than what was happening back in Sodom. Much like the monkey bars we played on as a kid, right? I was never very good at the upper body strength stuff, but monkey bars. Can I have that visual in your head? We need to let go of that bar behind us and stretch that bar in front of us, right? Some versions of the Bible use the words stretching to what lies ahead, while others say straining forward to what lies ahead. Some say look as well. They like these two versions because either way, we know that the process of moving, right, that forward movement, the letting go of this one to go to this one is uncomfortable. That transition from bar to bar is uncomfortable. There's this like millisecond between the moment you let go and you go to the forward one, right? That you feel like, man, am I gonna make it? If I let go of this one in the back, am I actually gonna have enough swing? Am I gonna be able to make it? Or am I gonna come crashing down? We have assurance in Christ that when we stretch forward, when we reach what's in front of us, reach for what's in front of us, we will not come up empty-handed. The promises of God are true in Christ, and as we go deeper and deeper in our relationship with Him, we build more and more confidence to let go and stretch for what's next. It becomes this, all right, I'm going to do it, I did it, to literally swinging from bar to bar. I think it's important to note here that when we are doing this movement, when we're stretching forward, when we're waiting for that next thing, looking for that next thing, there isn't always a tangible next thing, right? We would want there to be. We're going through the effort, we're going through the movements, and we want there to be some kind of that prize right away, right? So sometimes we're kind of just hanging and waiting and maybe swinging and I'm like, all right, Lord, where is it? All right, Lord, where is it? Sometimes when we're doing that, in those moments, Christ is enough. When we're not seeing that prize right away, when we're not seeing that tangible result of our efforts, Christ is enough. To have Christ is enough. I think it's good and important for us to remember that. Paul writes, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I like how the Message version says this. It says, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. If we've begun this year with a resolve and a hope to draw near to God, to be healthier spiritually, to serve and to love God and to love people and to walk in the calling that is on our lives, let us know what this is for. In the end, all that we are, all that we have, and all that we strive to be is to make more and more of Jesus than ourselves. If we strive to do better and do better to receive attention for ourselves, we're doing it for the wrong reasons, guys. Doing it for the wrong reasons. The benefits are good, the gifts are good, the promises are good, but all in all, what we want and what we need is Christ, is Jesus. If we strive to be better and do better, let us be reminded that we can because of the power in Christ and for the glory of Christ. Keeping that in mind will just help us through the many struggles and obstacles and things that we will encounter. Because in the end, it will not be about us, but it'll be about Him. And so we'll try a little harder. We'll push a little farther. We will keep our eyes. We will stay focused on Him through it all. So we're only on day 12, guys. We have 353 days left of the year. In 353 days, we can be in a completely different place. We can be healthy, loving Jesus, fulfilling His mission if we stay the course. If we run towards the prize, if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we can make it. I know we can make it. It will not be easy. And some of us on day 12 may have already said, whoop, I guess I'll try again next year. There's always next year. There's always today, and there's always now. Because there's no moment in our lives where God will say, nope, you're late. Nope, never mind. You should have done well. You should have stuck it out. You're a loser. You're this, you're that. Here and then now, God is still there saying, come. I'm still here. I'm still waiting. This can happen for you now and today. We all have pasts. We all have things in our lives that haunt us in a way, right? Those bad things that haunt us. We need to forget them. We need to push them to the back. We need to understand that where we are today, yes, our past has shaped us. Yes, those accomplishments have made us who we are in terms of, you know, the victories that we had. But there's new victories to be had in the future, now and in the future. So let's not focus, base our worth, be content with the victories and blessings we had in the past. Know that today there are new blessings, today there are new promises, tomorrow there are new blessings, and tomorrow there are new promises for our lives that are to be fulfilled for the glory of Christ in our lives. Forget the past. stretch for Jesus and keep focused so that you can win the race in 2020. Because we can win the race in 2020. Pastor Martin.
Can we rise to our feet as I ask the worship team to come up? I think what's important to know is sometimes we bamboozle ourselves before we get to the end race. And I want you to know, as Sister Betsy said, we can win the race. It is a possibility in your life to win this race. And I think that if we were to embrace this truth in our hearts, then we would run differently. And then we would be able to stretch and look forward and focus and forget those things, right? But we need to put it in our hearts and in our minds on the 12th day of January of 2020 that winning this race is a possibility for me. How do we do that? By forgetting the past, by stretching, and by keeping our eyes on God and not on our circumstances, not on our situations, not on us, but on the author and perfecter of our faith, the author and perfecter of our story, the one who writes our story, the one who wrote already our story. And so today, as we sing with this worship team, I want to challenge you to come forward so that you would embrace this truth to know, hey, I can win this race. It is a possibility. Come what may, it is a possibility. My story has already been written, and I am victorious. So I, today, tonight, we're coming to the altar, and we come to the altar to ask God, help me forget. Help me stretch and help me look to you in season and out of season, right? And help me embrace to know that I can win the race. Amen. So as we sing with the worship team, I want to challenge you to come up. If in one of those spaces you find yourself struggling, right? If it's that you can't forget the past, if it's that you're walking and you're dragging something that still reminded you of the past, I want you to come forward, right? The Lord wants you to come forward. If it's that you're scared to stretch, if it's that you're fearing and you're weary of stretching to that next bar because, God, I don't know what that is, I don't know what that means, I don't know what that feels like, I want you to come forward and ask God, help me stretch. And if it's that you're struggling and keeping your eyes on Christ, because I feel like we can keep our eyes on Christ when things are going great. But the prayer, the challenge is that we would keep our eyes on Christ when things are not going great. When we're lonely, when we're frustrated, when we're depressed, when we're anxious, when we're in our hardship, that we would keep focused on God, the author and perfecter of our faith, the author and perfecter of our story. So I challenge you this evening to come up. We want to pray with you as we worship with our team.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.